Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast where we break down politics, government structure, and dive into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we're talking about the Attorney General.
So grab your lawyer.
And let's get civical.
Buddy, welcome to Let's Get Civical. We should really start saying the name of our
Okay, great. Welcome to Let's Get Civical. I'm Lizzie Stewart.
And I'm Arden Walentowski.
And today we have two extremely special guests. I'm literally, yeah, double extremely.
Double extremely.
Extreme.
It's extreme.
Extreme. Two extreme guests.
Yeah, I'm so excited. You guys, do you want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Emily Rems.
And I'm Callie Watts.
And we are both editors of Bust Magazine in Brooklyn, New York, and the hosts of Bust's Pop-Tarts podcast.
Yes! So when you're done listening to this episode, you simply must go over and check out all of their stuff, all of the episodes, subscribe to Pop-Tarts. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's so much fun.
Thank you
so much for being here.
I appreciate you.
I know. Today is such a day to just like leave the house and come out into the streets. Today...
On Mueller Day.
Hashtag Mueller Day.
It's Mueller time.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about hashtag Mueller time?
I feel like it's extremely anticlimactic. Mm-hmm. And I was ready for the Donald to get dragged out into these streets.
Yeah.
And it's just the same old shit.
Yeah. It's like when you bring a hot person home and then they're bad in bed. Mm-hmm. Is how I see it. What's the point? Yeah. What's the point? And it also just like threatens the lives of millions of Americans.
That's right.
It's like that's sort of like what it is. You bring a hot guy home and he's bad in bed, and then it's threatening to not only you but the lives of a million Americans. Yeah.
This is happens totally to me all the time. On.
But yeah, I also thought it was anticlimactic. Arden, what did you think?
No, I thought the same. Like the stuff that I feel like it's full of stuff that we kind of already knew had been talked about, mm-hmm. had been leaked. We knew these people were going to talk to Mueller for hours on end. And it's great. Like you said before, Lizzie, it's great that it's like all on paper.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, okay, but he like tossed it to Congress who won't do anything with it.
Yeah,
exactly.
They'll like bring people in to testify in a hearing.
Well,
but
there's
it's a political
that they,
game.
They
like,
can do, you know,
right.
like
yeah.
with the Republicans controlling the Senate, there's genuinely nothing to
it
be done.
It seems like it's just going to be fodder for the next election cycle.
Yeah, I think
and
so
that's
as well.
It.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
The only interesting thing about it was that they just delivered it on CDs.
Wait, did they really? I didn't hear this. On CDs?
Yeah, on CDs. Yeah.
Is it 2001?
That's literally the only thing that I was like.
I'm so excited.
Windows 2000. That is fodder for an SNL skit right there. Yeah. What else could you deliver
like,
on a CD?
Why would it?
Did somebody give them a USB? Why? Like, I have extra. You can get it at Staples.
Yeah. Just use an old PR press kit.
Yeah.
Cool Trump mix O2.
And it was like a huge spindle of them. It wasn't just one.
You guys want
I didn't
see
my picture
demo?
Of it.
I think it was on The Cut or something. Or Slater.
Really?
Or something like that.
Oh my God. I have to look at that.
So for today's episode, we're talking about the Attorney General, which is so...
It was such an accident.
We did not mean to talk about the Attorney General today of all days. But that's what we are doing. And we're not going to focus solely on William Bilbo Baggins' bar. We are
bless his heart.
Mm-hmm. We're going to focus on why we have an attorney general, where that came from, what they do, LOL, what they're supposed to do, like what's written in parchment mm-hmm. versus what we've implied.
Right.
And then we're going to just see what William Billy Elliot Barr is like doing with that office.
Right.
So starting off,
we're going to start off with just a little bit of history about the position.
We love history.
We start at the beginning. So the Office of the Attorney General was created by the Judiciary Act of 1789.
Pull it out. We all know it. just like I hate when it starts like that. I hate when it's like this act from 1789. Like, why couldn't we have like revised since then? You know what I mean?
Right. We probably have.
Have we? You tell me. Because honestly, today it felt like 1789.
Yeah. Speaking of Supreme Court, I think yesterday was the anniversary of RPG getting elected to the...
Was it? If it was. Hell yeah.
Wow.
Shout out to RPG.
Congrats, RPG.
Well, somebody told me that yesterday.
So do we believe them?
I believed her.
Did they tell it to you?
I didn't. I couldn't Google it, though.
You told me here right now.
Could be fake news. But I'm going to believe. I choose
every day is RBG day.
I'll toast RBG any day.
That's yeah, right. any damn day.
Any damn day.
Especially today of all days. Let's just like focus on the good, which is RBG. Nothing else. So the Judiciary Act of 1789. Right. Go ahead. I'm not gonna get hung
you're
up
amazing.
On the names.
I love
I'm
you.
So sorry. Okay, great. We're back in the day. None of us can read.
None of us can read.
Or own property.
We're property. We aren't there.
No, we're not there. We're not. We didn't create this. We're not here. We wouldn't have let this happen. Anyways, I'm not going to get caught up. I'm not.
So the Judiciary Act of 1789 specifies that the Attorney General is to be learned in the law, close quote. So what the fuck does that mean? With the duty.
Learned in the law, Arden.
Learned in the law.
We're all learned in the law.
Listen. To prosecute and conduct all suits in the Supreme Court in which the United States shall be concerned. And to give his advice.
Mm. It's going to be Kimmy K soon. She's learned in the law.
She's right. She is going to be learned.
Hell yeah.
And I support it.
Look, there's a lot of learned in the law ladies out there.
There are.
And I support each and every one of them.
Kimmy Kim, step right up. So okay. To give advice and opinion upon questions of law when required by the President of the United States or when requested by the heads of any of the departments touching any matters that may occur, that may concern their departments.
Wow. Okay. Crystal clear.
It's a lot. It's a lot for this person to do. And basically what it's saying is that to be learned in the law and to be concerned to give advice and opinion on questions of the law. What they're saying is you are the lawyer for the United States.
Love. You That's are the Elwoods of the United States.
Right. Mm-hmm. You are the person who prosecutes or defends the United States when something comes up in court that concerns the country as a whole.
And if ever there was a nation that needed an attorney on retainer, it was the United States.
It's us.
We are just breaking laws left and right, honey.
So like we said, it also established a three-part judiciary system made up of district courts, circuit courts, and the Supreme Court.
They did a lot in this one piece of thing. They're like, okay, great. We have a lot of shit we have to figure out. Number one, we're going to create this attorney general. Number two, courts.
Yep.
You know, like what else can we throw in there? This is a big act.
It was a big act.
I bet it was on one sheet of parchment though. Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Like paragraph. Because they had, you know, they only had ink and the quill for so much.
Totally.
And then, you know, they had the paragraph about the AG and the paragraph about the courts, and that was it.
And that was it. And I love that.
Do you think?
Succinct.
Yeah. Efficient.
Yeah.
So they did this because in the Constitution they didn't provide any details about the courts or what you were supposed to do with these laws once they passed Congress. Like,
one of the things we love on this show, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way, is that the Constitution seems to have it says a lot of things and then provides no plan. They're just like, it should have this, and there's an office, and there's a president, and yeah, there's three branches, but we don't like.
And work it out.
We're going to figure it out. That's future Jefferson's problem. You know, like that's future Samuel's problem. And now here we are, future Samuel. Putting pen to parchment, being like, shit.
We didn't solve this problem in the Constitution, and we have to figure out our court system.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they did. They passed this act. So the official title in 1789 was an act to establish the judicial courts of the United States.
It's just very long.
Yeah.
I fell asleep reading it.
Yeah. I've aged since it was read. I can't get over how bad titles are of things. Like, you think they're very important. Excited. Yeah. Like, they just created courts. Like, the Cool Court Act. I don't know. Like, really anything. Anything other than, like, a snooze fest. Like, right. It seems like our founding fathers had no passion whatsoever. They were, like, no creative thinkers. You can tell. I'm not inspired. No, I wouldn't invest. I wouldn't invest. Shark Tank, I would not invest in this country.
It is a startup. We like it to say that our nation is a startup nation. It's so true. Yeah. There's just many things that they started and then they kind of put a pin in and they never came back to flush that out.
Here we are.
And here we are 5 years later and our books are atrocious.
Yeah. It's really bad.
Yeah.
It's the fire festival of government.
Oh, yeah. My God. Yes.
Yeah. We are. 100%. Yeah. We are the fire festival of countries for sure.
Let's move.
Yeah.
Where do you want to move?
Where would you move?
Listen, I love France. I go to Paris. I just love it so much. Sure. They've got lots of wine and good cheese. I've what lost weight every time I've gone there because it's.
I'm here for both of those things.
Right? Yeah.
Where would it's you guys amazing. Move?
Where'd you guys go?
If you hashtag moved. Sorry to just like hit you with a hard.
Yeah,
hitting,
like I would like to say that I would go somewhere tropical.
Mm.
Yeah, but yeah. But then like a hurricane would wipe me out.
Right. Yeah. You got
to
be.
That's something to be concerned with.
Totally.
I think I'd do a lot of hopping. I'm not gonna commit.
Oh,
country
I love
hopping.
I like yeah. that.
And I'm gonna move towards foods that I enjoy. Oh yeah. that's the deciding factor.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think
strategy.
I'd go to Spain would for you? Both of those reasons, for the climate and the food.
Mm.
Oh my God, and they so like take naps in the middle of the day. They are my people.
Yeah, that is such a smart move.
They're my people. They get me. I understand them and they understand me. Yes, so the Justice Department the Justice Department, which quite frankly, should be run by Beyonce.
Right. So they, yeah. So the act to establish the judicial courts of the United States was passed in 1789, also known as the Judiciary Act, signed into law by George Washington.
Love him.
And the act.
Big fan.
Yes. Created the AG, divided the country up into district, circuit, and Supreme Court. Then later, in an act to establish the Department of Justice in 1870.
It's a snooze. I'm sorry. An act to just,
I know.
Whatever. They don't care. They have no passion. I'm not into it.
It could have been like the law to keep you bitches correct.
Exactly. That's already more interesting. Like, you can tell that boring white men wrote this because there's no heart in it. No.
Especially since it's the department that all future spy movies are going to be based
yes.
on.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Had they know, they did not have foresight to anticipate cinematography.
Yeah.
I mean, they just had no, they had no vision.
Skyfall, 1870. You know, like literally anything. I need something.
Something. Give me something. So it was established after the Civil War, and they were a little bit delayed in creating this department because they were busy in the Congress trying to impeach President Johnson. So they were like, we gotta try that.
Yeah.
We gotta get that done first. And then we'll create the Department of Justice. Okay, good. Right. On the agenda. Please mark it.
I hate Andrew Johnson. I just want to say that.
But who do you hate more? Woodrow Wilson.
Or Andrew Johnson.
Or Andrew Johnson.
Wow.
I know.
One so was like a shitty racist thing. And the other one just didn't prevent the Second World War.
There's
so I
many
don't know.
Shitty racists to choose from.
I know.
He's
I know.
One among many.
Yeah.
Probably, I feel like probably Woodrow Wilson because I feel like that was just like a global, I mean, I don't know. The effect was global. But right. I guess, I don't know. Wow, that's such a great question.
It's a hard question. I'm really sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I have to think about it. I have to think about it because honestly, ask me, like, it could depend on the day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But whenever we talk about, like, Andrew Johnson in context, like, I really don't
Andrew
like
Johnson
him.
Was slightly more attractive than Woodrow Wilson.
That's
and
true.
I know that shouldn't factor into it.
Well, but it does for us and
you know,
everything
like
that we
do. It hurts that Franklin Pierce was smoking hot and was a terrible person. And, like, somehow I forgive his transgressions more because he looked like Morrissey a little bit.
Yeah. I understand that. Like, I forgive Bing Crosby a little bit, even though he beat his children.
Yeah.
Wait,
listen,
did he?
He sings White Christmas. Like, that
it's
is my
beautiful.
Jam.
Yeah, he is a very lovely voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's yeah, they're both Woodrow Wilson and Andrew Johnson, very bad men.
Yeah.
Very bad men. And I think Andrew Johnson should have been impeached, but again, I wasn't at the table, so
nobody asked
nobody
you.
Asked
nobody
you
asked
back
me,
in 1870.
But I was there
girl.
Spiritually. I do feel like I was alive in this time. It doesn't matter. Okay. So but wait,
okay.
We establish this Department of Justice like 100 years No, like less than 100 years after we established the first thing.
Yeah, like 80 years.
That is so crazy.
Right? That we were, there was like Attorney General, Supreme Court, and then 80 years later after we'd slaughtered half the population, they were like, we need a department. We need an office. We need rooms.
This country could use some justice.
We really need some justice. Hold on. We need like more bodies in here. Like that's the silliest thing.
We need a staff. We've done too much wrong that we have to defend ourselves against.
Half the country left? Like what are we supposed to do there?
Right. So the Department of Justice, through this act, was empowered to handle all criminal prosecutions and civil suits in which the United States had an interest.
We empower you. To handle this, okay? I'm empowering you.
I do love that that's come back to mean, like, what it, that it's a word that's come back into usage.
Empowered?
Like, yeah, empowered.
To mean, like, going to, like, a Goop all-day seminar and using a yoni.
Like, you're an empowered woman.
Yeah.
I'm an empowered woman. I'm empowered to handle all criminal prosecution and civil suits.
Give me the $25,000 paperweight. I am empowered.
I'm empowered. Mm-hmm. Great. Sorry. I'm going to stop interrupting you when you read. That's what I'm saying that into the space so that I'll do it.
You're manifesting it.
I'm manifesting it like Gwyneth taught me because I'm empowered. In many ways, the Department of Justice is the Goop of America in this time. It's just nobody knows what it's doing, but it's there and it seems to have power.
Yeah. So they created this department basically to assist the Attorney General in their job, basically to give them like a structure and support and staff, because as we've learned, the Attorney General represents the United States in cases before the Supreme Court. And it came down to this one guy who was like, I gotta go to my next, there's more cases, right. And I need sleep, can we please get me a staffer?
He was overworked.
It was hard.
It was hard being a white man who was educated in the 1870. It was so hard. All the reading he had to do, and only he could do. I mean, that's a burden.
Like, yeah, ask our current president who reads nothing for any reason.
Right.
Because other people read for him. Back in the day, it was just...
Do they?
Fair. Touche.
The Attorney General position at this time was also a part-time job.
Mm-hmm. A side hustle.
Like this, these dudes were probably like lawyers who like lawyered on the side and then like went to court and were like, yes, I am representing the United States of America. Yeah. Can we get, I've got a divorce court.
It just continues to prove how little faith like people had in the United States surviving. Cause they're like, I'm not even going to leave my real job to do this. I'm going to keep that job and I'll do this when I can. But I don't really see this country going anywhere. So I'm going to stay where the money is. Yeah. A part-time job. I love.
Right?
I wish it still was. I'd do it.
Okay. But here's the thing. So you joke
minimum
about that.
Wage.
I'd be Attorney General. I make $15 an hour.
I know, right?
But the New York, just to harken back to the episode that we did last week, the New York state legislators are all part-time positions.
Are they?
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's insanity.
Oh, my God.
The fact that any, like, legislator who's, like, in charge of people's lives and, like, making them better and passing legislation, the fact that any part of that is part-time is
a joke.
Are you telling me that, like, Jumaane Williams is going to be my Uber driver?
But that's a city. That's a full-time position.
Oh, good.
I'm talking about, like, New York State senators and New York State Assembly people.
Okay.
Like, the people who, like, make the laws for New York State. Yeah.
That is
their part. So they could be your Uber drivers.
They make, like, 80 grand a year.
Yeah, or they could be at Starbucks.
Yeah.
They make 80 grand a year?
They make, like, 80 grand a year.
How is
that
a part-time job? So I want that City, part-time job.
New York City Council people make about $150,000.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, well, now I feel less stressed. I mean, I still think they should be there all the time.
Yeah.
Now instead of just like passing laws. Into the City Council.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I feel like that's a great gig.
The New York City Council is a great gig. You know, it's not a great gig being a staffer. Those people make like 40 grand and totally. They run everything.
They do everything.
And they probably work full-time.
They work full-time. Like any.
Over full-time.
Any staffer position, there's one up right now for a council person in Manhattan, is like, you must also be willing to work nights and weekends. And I'm like.
You must be on call 24 hours a day.
Exactly. Right. Like, it's insane. So, the attorney general position was part-time.
Love.
Right.
I think it's great.
I think it's great. The first attorney general was Edmund Randolph.
Bless his heart. Right? Love him. Shout out to Edmund Randolph because we did an episode on the presidential cabinet. Edmund Randolph was one of the first four presidential cabinet members to George Washington.
OG.
OG. He was an OG member.
OG Pres Cab.
Yeah. Love him. Love Edmund.
Love Edmund. He also represented Aaron Burr.
Yeah, I was the murderer of resident drama queen of the show Alexander Hamilton.
That's right.
In trial for treason in 1807.
Yeah, Aaron Burr, what was he doing? I mean, we can talk about Aaron Burr at a later time, but I saw that and I was like, relax.
Don't you feel like, I feel like he's the Jeff Sessions of that era.
Yeah.
Don't you feel? And then he went on to become Secretary of State after
Thomas Jefferson.
TJ. TJ. It's not Tommy. It's Thomas Jefferson.
Yep. So Edmund Randolph went on to be Secretary of State. Love it.
Yes, he did. So attorney generals are nominated by the president for their position, which we talked about in the cabinet episode we did, and they must be approved by the Senate because they are the ones who perform the advise and consent duties of Congress. They are an official cabinet member, which means that William Barr is number 7 in the line for presidency.
Look, William Billy the Kid Barr, number 7. It's like, that's why this matters, because like 7 is too close.
It's too close for me, especially after he tried to use air quotes in his press conference this morning on Mueller Day. He used air quotes, and I was like,
"You just you're done. You fundamentally you're can't done. Use air
well,
quotes.
You don't get to air quoting quote. Around.
Something about I don't even
justice.
Remember.
My truth. Job, collusion, America.
Who knows?
Oh, yeah, God. Yeah. So that's like the basic history: how we got the Attorney General, how we got the Justice Department, in a very succinct way. Yeah, let's talk about what they do.
So I am going to talk about what they do, and a lot of this comes from the literal justice website, like justice.gov, whatever it is, which is the saddest website you'll ever go to. There, once again, is no heart. There's no inspiration. They need to get a non-union actor to just take a stab at it. Aww. And get some creativity. I mean, look, I see actors with great websites, and I just look at like our government websites, and I'm like, what? There's no excuse. Go on Squarespace. Pick a template. Live your life. Yeah. So according to the Department of Justice website, this is their mission. The mission of the Office of the Attorney General is to supervise and direct the administration and operation of the Department of Justice, including the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Drug Enforcement Administration, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, Bureau of Prisons, Offices of Justice Programs, and the U.S. Attorneys and U.S. Marshals Service, which are all within the Department of Justice.
I didn't realize that, like, the ATF was under the justice. I mean, I guess that makes sense.
But it kind of makes it seem like the Department of Justice is, like, our own version of Russia's secret police.
It kind of does. Yeah.
Like, when you realize the umbrella under which it all falls.
Right. It's right. very broad.
And then it makes, like, if the AG is a cabinet member, then... You know, what expectations should we have of the entire Justice Department being nonpartisan?
Right.
Right.
If the AG is in the cabinet.
Totally.
I mean, valid. Yeah, it's a completely valid point. Yeah. There is no.
I've labored under this misconception that our Justice Department is its
unbiased?
Own thing.
Yeah, it's not.
Oh, and no. It's just not.
No, yeah. It's not. I mean, no matter who's in office, because you're exactly right. The head of the office of the department is appointed by the president. And so they have to get confirmed through the Senate. But like up until recently, that all just went through. You know, they just approved them because of, you know,
they were qualified.
Professional courtesy. And so, you know, we're going to talk about later about how like when Eric Holder was there, they all take liberties with the job. And then, they set policy and it filters down through the staff. And there are, you know, longtime staffers in these departments, but they take direction from the person at the top.
Right.
So, but like when Trump was bitching about how like he was like just bitching about Jeff Sessions and he was like, I want Roy Cohn. And I was like, get off it. Like, you can't just have your own personal lapdog. Mm-hmm. But he actually he can.
Yeah.
And I thought that he was delusional and it was actually me.
Yeah. Well, I guess like the thing.
Oof.
I think that, like, I think the hard. Difference is that. The AG shouldn't be working for the president. You know, like, are they partisan?
Yes. Is.
I know he's a point, but like, he's not like the president's personal attorney.
Right.
But exactly. What's the difference between being the country's attorney and the president's attorney?
Is that you also have to consider equally the country's interest. So say like, say the Mueller report came out and they were like, collusion, everything. It's all illegal activity. Then what the attorney general is supposed to do is act on that, knowing that on the interest of not only the president, but the country. And the interest of the country would be, we can't have a president who is colluding with a foreign.
But you have Nixon like, being like, if the president's doing it, it's not illegal.
Totally. Right.
And then you could just have the, you know, the idea that the president is America and America is the president.
That's sort of like a dictatorship in a way.
Mm. Which is sort of what we have.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think yes, you're correct. And I think the problem is that there's a fundamental flaw in this, which I don't think the founding fathers, I mean, in some ways they wanted him to have a certain level of authority and autonomy, the president, I mean, but in other ways they didn't want him to be king. And they wrote extensively about that. And especially in things, like in the Federalist Papers, they expand on what they thought the job of the president should be and what it shouldn't be. And I think, you know, the current structure that we have now where the president is basically the Pope and he's infallible isn't something that they would have abided by.
Right.
And part of it is just like, you know, I am waiting for the you saw my tweet today. I'm waiting for the first Democratic presidential candidate who's going to be like, I will only appoint an attorney general who will get rid of this rule that the sitting president cannot be charged with the crime.
Yeah,
right.
Because it's not a law. It's a regulation under Department of Justice.
It's a guideline.
It's a guideline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mueller's abiding by it because he is trying to very delicately like prop up the structures and the departments that we have that are being diminished and torn down under Trump. And I understand that. But at some point, this needs to be looked at because it was a problem under Nixon. You know, whether or not you can indict a sitting president. And quite frankly, why shouldn't you be able to? We have a line of succession for a reason.
Yeah. And you know what else is a guideline? Showing your goddamn taxes. Mm. And nobody cares about that guideline.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So like, why should we be so hard and fast about that guideline?
Sure. I mean, absolutely. It's like when people, you know, quote the Bible and they say that homosexuality is bad. It's like, so is eating shellfish, bitches. Like you can't pick and choose.
Yeah. Right. You can't pick and choose.
Yep.
Don't eat the shrimp.
Don't eat the shrimp.
So the Department of Justice.
We hard transition a lot.
It's hard. No, I love hard transitions. It makes me feel great. So we've talked about like what they are, according to them. And now this, according to their website, is what the Attorney General is supposed to do, according to them. Represent the United States in all legal matters. Love. Supervise and direct the administration and operation of the offices, boards, divisions, and bureaus that compromise the departments.
Comprise.
What did I say?
Compromise.
Look, they compromise the department at this point. Honestly, that was a Freudian slip.
I love it.
I also can read. I just learned. They just let me here in America. Okay. They can furnish advice and opinions, formal and informal, on legal matters to the president and the cabinet and to the heads of the executive departments and agencies of the government as provided by law. They furnish? The only thing I furnish is an apartment. Are you joking? Like, what does that mean?
Furnish?
Yeah.
Provide.
Like, yeah, provide. Give.
Say that. I hate that. Man. Okay. This is the hill that I'll die on, is this fucking, when people use, like, that's such an unnecessary word. Furnish. I'm not going to get into it. Okay. Other things they're supposed to do: make recommendations to the president concerning appointments to federal judicial positions and to positions within the department, including U.S. attorney and U.S. marshals. So they're basically like, that person's great.
Let's take them on.
Great. Mm-hmm.
Go HR's down the hall.
Oh my God, ew. They don't have an HR department in the Department of Justice or the White House. There's no HR. Help us all. They're supposed to represent or supervise the representation of the United States government in the Supreme Court of the United States and all other courts, foreign and domestic, in which the United States is party or has an interest as may be deemed appropriate. So basically, if it's like blah, blah, blah versus the United States, the Attorney General shows up.
They show up.
But this rule, or this sort of like duty, is why, you know, when like William Billy Madison Barr says shit about like his stance on abortion. And we have 16 cases that are sort of like at the Supreme Court's door. This is why it's super important that he straight up is saying Roe v. Wade should be overturned.
He said it with his mouth.
He said it with his mouth.
We all know that he said it.
He literally, there's a video, no?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, when people are like, it doesn't matter. It actually very much does matter because he might be the one in court arguing.
Right.
Like, to overturn Roe v. Wade. And we have Brett, the butt-chugging Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court. You know, it all ties in. All ties in.
Brett the butt-chugging.
Sorry. I'm just like on a name roll today. So, yeah, I just want to point that out, that that is a very important duty. The last duty is that they perform or supervise the performance of other duties required by statute or executive order. What does that mean? Just like the thing as a whole.
Yeah. It means like whatever else is in the law that like it defines his position, this person's position. Or if the president were to pass an executive order that would require the attorney general to do something, they would have to do that thing.
So it's sort of like, and some other stuff.
Right. Yeah. It's like the job description that's like, you must be doing X, Y, and Z and blah, 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 and any other duties is assigned.
And great with kids. Yeah. You know, like...
Yeah, that's
must that be is. Comfortable, you know.
We will ask you to do the windows at some point. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you could lift 50 pounds off your head, also great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Partial nudity will be required. A robe will be provided on set. Oh my God. The Office of the Attorney General includes a Deputy Attorney General and an Associate Attorney General.
Yes.
And I mean, like a full on fucking staff. That's not just like three guys in a room being like, what's next? What do we want to try? But
those
today
are just like two other important
things.
Yeah.
So what do they actually do?
So that's what they
that's what they say they do
in government speak. What they actually do, I mean, they do that stuff, or they should be doing that stuff, but the job is actually pretty ill-defined in some respects, and the attorney general has a lot of agency within the department from their position, like we talked about, because they're appointed and they're the head of the department. They can kind of, they can set new guidelines. Yes. They can choose what
they can just like make their own rules. No.
Yeah, they can.
That's great. Love that.
How nice for you.
Yeah. If you were an attorney general, what new rule would you make?
I would stop the erosion of women's reproductive rights.
Excellent. Excellent choice. Solid.
Solid choice. What about you? What would you do?
I'm putting Beyonce was rewriting the Constitution.
Love.
Oh my God. Yes.
Hell yeah.
New York and LA on board.
Oh, great. We only need. Honestly, we only need like a couple more states and we've got a coalition.
And you had a coalition. But then you've got like, what is it? Like Provincetown or like the up the East Coast, all of like the gay party towns.
Right.
Like you've got, it's, yeah, you're good.
Yeah. We Oh, yeah. We've got the East Coast.
Yeah. East Coast. Probably got New Orleans on a good day.
Totally. Yeah. We can get Austin, Texas for sure.
For sure. For sure.
Well, Beyonce is involved. We're getting Texas.
We can totally,
getting
Texas. Yeah, we can definitely get the state of Texas.
So it's just sort of a ring around the
New York.
Any like water America state except like, you know, Mississippi or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So like I said, the goals and the priorities that a presidential administration has can really dictate how the Office of the Attorney General functions. So the Attorney General can decide which cases they want to prosecute and which will take priority within the department. They can decide which parts of a law they want to defend when it's challenged in court.
I just hate that you can just like pick one, you know? Like, shouldn't you be defending all of the parts?
Yeah.
I just naive?
They're just like, I'm screaming. I'm sorry. Focus I just like on the last sentence.
Yeah, let's just actually, never mind this first half of this law that people took like hours and hours to come up with. Let's just look right here.
Like this part right here.
Yeah, I hate that. Sorry, keep going.
No, you're fine. So, for example, when the Trump administration decided not to defend the part of the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, in court, and so this, just to give you a little bit of an idea about how they can choose to defend stuff. So this is coming from, this is an easy name, Van R. Newkirk II from The Atlantic. This is where it's coming from. So there was a part in the ACA that protects pre-existing conditions, the part that we've all, you know, if anything should stand, I mean, it should all stand in the ACA, but this is the part that seems particularly egregious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you have a pre-existing condition, you should be able to get health care for that condition. It's ridiculous. It's so stupid.
Yeah. It's quite literally not your fault.
Not your fault. So Texas brought a lawsuit against the Justice Department.
Damn it.
man, we're doing so well with Beyonce and everything, and then they just do this.
I know. They're so yin and yang. It's quite purple, your state.
I know. It's like disciplining a child. Like, come on.
Do better.
Herding
do
better. Cats. So they brought a lawsuit against the Justice Department challenging part of the law that mandates coverage for pre-existing conditions. And the DOJ, quote, essentially agreed with much of the lawsuit's rationale, which is that recent legislation had voided most of the ACA's most important provisions. And so basically the state of Texas, the people who brought this suit, it was basically another way that the Republican Party was trying to dismantle the ACA one piece at a time. So Texas argued that since the individual mandate is constitutional only because it's a tax, which is ruled by SCOTUS, that the GOP and the GOP has removed the tax penalty with the tax reform bill. I was right. The mandate no longer stands. So they've like crumpled this thing, mm-hmm. crumpled the individual mandate, which then undermines the entire ACA because it cannot, the GOP argued, continue as Congress intended. Like, because they've crippled the mandate.
Because we've set it on fire from the inside.
Right.
It's no longer what Congress set it out to be because we have effectively destroyed it.
Right. Exactly. So because it's crumpled.
Which is the same thing that they're doing with reproductive rights.
Yeah.
They're right. crumpling it.
Right.
Instead of just overturning Roe v. Wade, they're crumpling it state by state.
Right. Yes. Right. They're chipping away at it just a little bit at a time. And because the ACA can't continue to stand as, you know, as Congress intended it to be a fix for the marketplace. You know, they created the marketplace that basically the marketplace rests on the assumption, because it's in the law, that everybody will get health insurance. Mm-hmm. The majority of people will get health insurance. And if that's gone, then the ACA is, you know, doesn't function as it was intended. So then the DOJ, Department of Justice, quote, reasoned that because it believes the Supreme Court should soon declare the taxless mandate unconstitutional, the pre-existing conditions provision so closely attached to it should also be nixed, close quote.
Was this Sessions that argued this, or was this Billy Barr?
Oh, this is Sessions. Yeah, this is in the beginning.
Sessions. Jeff, yeah. Where's he?
Gone.
I'd love to get him on the phone.
I know. I don't know where he is.
Call that Keebler elf tree.
See Jeff and Lizzie, where are you? Drop me a pin. Coming to find you.
So, I mean, like, pre-existing conditions are still a thing. Because basically the court was like, yeah, no, that's not how it works. Like, just you can't presuppose that, like, just because this part has fallen, like, the entire rest of the act goes away. Like, that's not a thing. But he did. But Sessions and the DOJ, the Attorney General, did not want to defend the ACA in court. So just one way that it matters who our president is and who they appoint to these cabinets.
To be like, you see, it's all dead.
Right.
So this should be dead too. This is the most Texas thing. That's fucking state. I swear to God. Sometimes I'm like, what are you doing?
Okay. What are you doing? They can also decide which laws they want to enforce.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm not.
I know. Coming on our show is so fun sometimes. And then sometimes it's really fucking depressing.
It's like, no, you can't. What are you talking about? That doesn't, like, that's not how society works at all.
Imagine
if this is how we lived our lives, where there were, like, certain laws that you could enforce, certain laws that you could obey. Like,
right.
You're like a police officer being like,
I mean, it kind of is. Like, in New York City, they've chosen not to enforce marijuana laws. And
true.
So people could just live their lives without the fear that they once had. Like,
But I don't think they just choose. They had to make some kind of deregulation.
Not really. Like, de Blasio just sort of decriminalized it.
De Blasio's right, a little blasé about it.
So, like, I feel like it's similar. Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
Like, just this idea, like, we're just going to not enforce this law.
Yeah.
So, you know, do what you feel.
Right.
Live your life. We're not going to helicopter parry you. Mm-mm.
And we're like cool with the decriminalization of weed here in New York. But like the idea that they just don't feel like upholding major parts of the ACA.
Right.
Is troubling.
Right.
It's troubling.
Yeah.
Troubling.
So this comes from Brian Montepoli.
Montepoli.
Totally butchered that probably. From CBS.
That's phonetic.
It's phonetic. So in 2011, Obama asked the Justice Department not to enforce the Defense of Marriage Act, also known as DOMA, which prohibited federal recognition of same-sex marriages.
I feel like that's great.
Right.
That's a great use of enforcing laws.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful example.
Let it ride.
Love it.
Like, you know what? We're done.
Don't do it.
Yeah. And Holder, I mean, it was a little rocky because Holder said in a statement that the department will stop defending the policy because it has now been challenged in the Second Circuit, which hasn't established a binding standard for how laws concerning sexual orientation should be treated. So he basically was like kicking the can down the road, being like, listen, this is in the Second Circuit right now, and they haven't told me what they want to do with it. So we're not going to enforce it. So then he sent a letter to Speaker Boehner.
God, you remember Boehner?
I know.
Well, I almost forgot about him.
Wow. I know, right?
He's a work.
Honey.
He's a tan man.
Where's he?
He's a tan man. He introduced the orange to D.C.
Yeah. Jeez, Louise.
Yep.
Sorry. Shout out to Boehner.
Yep.
Hope you're well.
So Holder sent a letter to Boehner citing the Equal Protection Clause and discrimination against LGBT people as examples of when the Equal Protection Clause hasn't protected Americans. And Michael Steele, not that Michael Steele, but a different Michael Steele who was Boehner's spokesperson.
I don't know who the first Michael Steele is. I thought you're like, not the one you're thinking of. I'm like, amazing. I had no Michael Steele in my brain.
Really?
No. Who's Michael Steele?
Oh my God. Am I doing this, Selena?
Oh my God.
He's a Democratic.
No, he's a Republican.
Michael Steele's a Republican?
I know, you wouldn't think it, but he's a Republican.
Then I'm thinking of a different Michael Steele.
How many Michael Steeles? Right now we have three Michael Steeles.
Yeah, that's Michael Steele.
That guy's a Republican?
He's a Republican.
Is he still a Republican?
Yeah, but he doesn't like Trump.
Love.
Yeah.
See, that's where the confusion lies, because I've seen him talking shit about Trump, but I didn't realize he was a Republican.
He's a Republican. He's an MSNBC correspondent. He's one of the Republicans that they have. He's an exile.
Okay, so what's hit?
So this
who's this Michael Steele?
This Michael Steele. Yes, it's not this Michael Steele. It's a different Michael Steele. He was Boehner's spokesperson, and he criticized the administration for trying to divide a nation that was struggling economically by bringing up DOMA.
By bringing up Well, I mean, like, you know, when we're struggling economically, like, how can we possibly talk about like LGBTQ problems? You know, like, we're struggling economically.
Coal miners, you guys.
Coal miners need money. We can't talk about gay marriage right now.
Man, I'm not gonna get into coal mining, but what? Like, we're still coal mining,
right? We're still coal mining,
but barely.
But still, we put a man on the moon. We can't figure out how to get a robot into a coal. Anyways, it doesn't matter. I'm not gonna get into coal mining today. I can't do it. It's just me. Yeah.
It's too exhausting.
It's so exhausting. So the EPC what?
That was so good.
The EPC what?
What?
I don't know. Yeah. So, anyway, that's the end of that.
Great.
We can round it out there. The important part is that they didn't want to defend DOMA.
They didn't want to defend DOMA.
TLDR,
I got really
we defend what we want to defend, and we totally ignore what we feel like ignoring.
Hell yeah. That should be on the website. That's honest.
Yeah.
That's honestly what they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, then let's just round it out with some fun facts.
Amazing.
It's my favorite thing in the world is when we have fun facts.
All right.
Bring them.
The longest serving attorney general is a woman.
Reno.
Janet Reno.
When I think of Janet Reno, I think of two things. I think about her flaming David Koresh.
Oh.
And I think about Will Ferrell playing her on Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
It's like literally unreal. She was the 78th attorney general, and she served from 1993 to 2001.
Work.
Hell yeah.
Doing
it. She was the first woman ever to become attorney general, and then she would just show them all and was like, I'm gonna be here for as long as I want to be here. Fucking love it. It's like, don't look to a man to do a woman's job, you know what I mean? We've only had two women in the history of America be attorney generals. One was Janet Reno, and the second one was Loretta Lynch. And that's, so from 1993 to like backwards to the beginning of time, we never had a female attorney general. Like, no. I just want everybody to like sink their teeth into that, because once again, when people are like, when are you going to be satisfied? It's like when there's a female attorney general for 100 years straight.
But also never.
And also never. And also never.
I will never be satisfied. I'm not going to
say Sally Yates would have been the third, but she was only acting.
I love Sally Yates.
I flippin' love Sally Yates. Shout out to Sally Yates.
She could run, I'm just saying.
She could, should run.
Yeah. She makes me so excited.
I know.
The shortest serving attorney general, spoiler, it's a man, is Edwin Stanton. He only did 75 days in office. Bless his heart. Ah. He was appointed by Buchanan, like right before Buchanan was about to leave office. So then he was just done when Buchanan left office. So it like wasn't his fault, but I kind of think it's funny that it was like, oh shit. I like his former one left or was fired. I don't know what happened to him, but then it was like, we gotta fill this vacancy for 70 days. Edwin, it's you. Edwin Stanton.
Packed up his family, moved. 75 days.
The youngest attorney general ever, not elected, nominated into the position, was Richard Rush, who was the 8th attorney general, who was 34 years old when he took the office.
So young and fresh.
Well, this is fun. Fun fact. He went to Princeton when he was 13 years old.
That is, oh my so God, amazing. He's the Doogie Howser.
When he was 13, I mean, but when you think about it, he's the 8th one, so this is like, what, early 1800s,
right.
Maybe?
Right.
So like the life expectancy, 18? He's only going to live to be 35. Like, yeah, they don't exactly. Live.
Just, like, basically
they're not
60.
Living. This is like right before the Civil Fair. War, so maybe right. He goes into that, like...
It was because I had this reaction and I was like, oh my God, what am I doing with my life? I'm not attorney general.
I've been to Princeton once.
So to do.
25.
And I had to look it up in order to make myself feel better. And it was he was there from 1814 to 1817. And then I was like, okay. The alternative was like syphilis. Yeah. Fine. Like, yeah. I'm great.
We
I will
all
keep
could
on
have
living
died
my
of
life.
Consumption.
Yeah. I think that's like a good way to sort of like keep me on track. Like when I'm sort of like in one of my like depressive moods, I should just be like, I could have syphilis. You right. Know, like yeah. That should be what like kicks me back into gear. Like it could be 1812.
Right.
And I could have syphilis.
Right. Yep. Or, you know, 8 children running around and.
I could die in childbirth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still could die in childbirth.
Yeah, it's still
very relevant.
Yeah. I love that it's still on the table.
Look how far we've come.
Look at us. I can read. And then the last fun fact is that every state has an attorney general, and they do pretty much the exact same thing that the attorney general of the United States does for us, but for
so
its own
ignore
state.
Parts of the law. And,
ignore
and,
parts of the law. They're like, this is what Texas wants. This is how Texas is
but
doing
the New York
this.
Attorney general is out for Trump blood.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Totally. They're just like, all right, like thing after thing after thing. I love it. They're
do
doing
you,
the work.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, that's geez. All I do.
Do you think that the Southern District of New York is our only hope in terms of getting Trumpy McTrumperson behind bars? Like, is RICO going to do its work that it did for mobsters of yore? Like, is this the only way?
Yeah, is this the movie so. The Untouchables, you know?
Yeah,
is that the moment? Yeah. I don't know.
I hope so.
Yeah,
that would be great
because there are cases
I'll
in
be so
other
proud
states
to be from New York.
I know there are cases in other states. There's some in the Southern District in New York, but I think there's some in California. Maybe there's a couple of other
there's
ones that
probably
are
one in every
but
place
this is where the bodies are buried. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like especially the financial ones.
Yeah, I think it's the only legal way to get him out, mm-hmm. or to not even get him out. I don't know that you would get him out, but the only way to like
put him into jail,
put him in jail at some point in his life. I don't know that they would do it while he's still
well. I saw
president
AOC was posting that they're still trying to move to impeach, but no.
It's not. Well,
it's not
gonna
happen. Think it's gonna happen. No.
And I honestly don't think
passing
they should.
Around some.
Yeah, I think the moment
card
is now.
Themselves to all sign.
Yeah,
with wishful thinking, but it's just not.
No,
work.
I know, but I think the moment is now to just focus on 2020 and you know rallying behind.
I don't think I know people want him gone, and I do too. It's not that I want him to stay. I just don't think that like impeachment is the way to go.
Well, we get pinced.
You get Pence.
Who
it's
can
also not gonna go
more
anywhere.
Easily win
right.
For a re-election?
But also,
like if it's Pence versus somebody, like we're boned.
Oh, really? I think if it's Trump versus somebody, like I
and
really,
if we're looking
yes.
for a peaceful transfer of power, like it might be much more difficult with an impeachment than with an actual election.
Mm-hmm. To have a peaceful transition of power? You think?
Yeah, I mean, people are talking about, you know, like Charlottesville type.
Right.
Rioting in the streets if things don't seem above board.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, certainly if like if we have the Congress that we have now, and if he's impeached with the Congress that we have now, a.k.a. Republicans control the Senate, mm-hmm. then sure, that's actually a peaceful transition of power because that means that you have Republican leadership.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or at least like a handful of Republican senators switching over to like agree to impeach him.
Right.
Right.
So that's, I mean, that's certainly different than like the Democrats beating and then the Republicans being like, that's not what we want. Right. Ow.
That's what they all sound like. I mean, I it's kind of astounding.
They sound like a goat. Like,
yeah.
What a world.
I know.
What a world we live in, you guys.
Sick sad world.
I love it. Oh my gosh. Every time we do an episode, I'm like, wow, I'm so happy to be alive. I just feel ready to take on the day. I can just go sing in the streets about how good it's all going.
We always end on such a high note.
Yeah. We end on that note. Ah. That's my high note.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, you guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, of course. This was so lovely. Voyage.
Your show is great. I learned so much from it.
Oh my God. I'm literally so pleased.
Best compliment.
I'm so pleased.
That's so awesome.
But you guys, when you're done listening to this, please go over to Pop-Tarts, listen to them. They're super fun and great. Aww. It's so great. It's absolutely amazing and hilarious and just poignant. And yeah, we love you all so much. If you like this episode, you can find us on social media at Let's Get Civical. Like us, rate us, review us. We're on all of the platforms.
Subscribe.
Subscribe. Press the button. Commit. Commit to me. Commit to Arden. Commit to us.
Commit more than they commit to a law.
Right.
That's right.
Right. Don't treat us like a law.
Don't be the attorney general of our lives.
Do not do it. We love you so much, and we will see you next week.
Yeah.